Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire, brought to you by Regions Bank.
And boy, do we have fire. Ron the Show, Hughley's out. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is in. And, boy, we got some juice right here. I don't know if you're going to like it, Houston, but this is Adam Schefter on what he now expects the Carolina Panthers to do with the number one overall draft pick.
I think going into the process of evaluating the quarterbacks, I think that Bryce Young is the favorite to become the number one overall pick, and they will
really?
Go in with an
OB.
Really? Let me say it this way. I think Bryce Young is to the Panthers what Mac Jones was to the 49ers when they traded up. They traded up with the idea that they really liked Mac Jones, and then they went through the process and wound up on Trey Lance. I think in this particular case, this team moved up with the idea that Bryce Young was a guy that they loved. They also really like C.J. Stroud. He's definitely got support in the organization. And we'll see what transpires during the course of evaluations. But I think the beginning of the process, it starts out with Bryce Young as the favorite.
Oh, this, I know a lot of people, and Vegas included, thought C.J. Stroud was the favorite. Look, here's the deal. This doesn't surprise me one bit for a couple of reasons, Smitty. Number one, I just simply believe that Bryce Young is the best quarterback in college football this year. I believe he was the best quarterback in this draft, and I don't even think it's close. Now, all of these guys are really good. Don't get me wrong, but when we talk about how convinced are you, the football team, A, B, or C, okay, how convinced are you that this quarterback is a franchise quarterback, a franchise-changing, organization-changing quarterback? How convinced are you he can handle all of the things that come with being the quarterback, as well as the game that he played in college? How well does it transition to the NFL? I think it's Bryce Young. I don't think there's a close second. Now, I could see where, I've said this a million times, Smitty, I think this quarterback class is more about fit than anything.
Yeah.
To me, if we're just talking fit, I believe C.J. Stroud fits your more pro-style offense that Frank Reich is going to run. Now, it's not
indeed as
pro-style as pro-style used to be, but it's more of throw the route tree, play action game, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think C.J. Stroud fits that better. But if we're just talking about which quarterback in this draft is more convincing that he can do all the things a franchise quarterback needs to do to be that dude, I don't think there's a close second. I think Bryce Young is in a league of his own.
Yeah, man, I have a hard time believing that Frank Reich is going to change what he's done his entire career as a coach and bring in a guy like Bryce Young that physically just doesn't meet the parameters that he's used to doing. I have to call BS on Schefter here. I don't believe this report.
You like Stroud to Carolina?
I think that makes way too much sense. I don't think that you trade up to draft a guy that's 5'10". That just
really,
and I think that benefits the Houston Texans tremendously, because I believe Bryce Young is the best quarterback in his draft. But I just don't. You got to make it make sense to me. When I hear Schefter say, you know what, It's Bryce Young is the guy that they're traded up to get. Okay, that makes sense if we were talking about someone outside looking in, looking at it logically, watching how these guys play. Yeah, but when you're talking about giving up assets, you're talking about these guys that jobs are on the line, I just have a hard time believing that they would do that for a guy that doesn't fit in the parameters that they're used to dealing with. Like, coaches have favorites in how guys
agree
do things, how they stand, how they walk in the room. They have favorites. These are the type of guys that this is my kind of guy. I need a guy that can do these certain things and move a certain way and have certain statures and all that type of stuff. And Frank Reich has never shown that Bryce Young would be his first choice. Now, I've heard audio of guys like Josh McCown, the other McCown.
one of them.
There's like three of them.
One of them McCown boys.
Yeah, one of them McCown quarterbacks.
The one that was almost head coach here?
Yeah, that guy. Second interview guy. twice, I believe. That guy was very high on Bryce Young, but he's also very high on C.J. Stroud. And to me, it just makes way too much sense that it's C.J. Stroud. If anything, to me, this is that stuff you throw out there during Lions season
sure.
to get the Texans antsy to be like, you know what? We'll give you this. so that we can get number one, yep. so we can draft Bryce. That's yep. that's what I hear when I hear this.
Well, look, if it's just games, boy, and posturing, I hope it doesn't impact the Texans' ability to get Bryce Young. But this is Josh McCown. This is the audio that you were talking about. This is the current quarterback coach for the Carolina Panthers, and they put it out there. Frank Reich and the offensive coordinator for Carolina his name slips my mind right now. I believe it was the guy that was head coach candidate out of the Rams organization. Running backs coach, assistant head coach.
Oh, Thomas Brown.
I think that's who they hired as their OC.
I believe it is Thomas Brown.
But you got Frank Reich, Thomas Brown, and Josh McCown. Those guys are the ones that, right? Those are the guys that were evaluating quarterback play. Here's Josh McCown on Bryce Young specifically.
We're going to look at it from the end zone, and I really love this arm angle, this creative arm angle that Bryce Young throws with right here. This is playmaking, okay? This is playmaking, both inside and outside the pocket. And that's what's different, all right? That's what you're going to look across the landscape of draftable players coming up this spring, and there's going to be guys that as the grades start pouring in that are just going to be good pro football players. They're going to have pro football qualities, right? But then you're going to see things that start to go above that line, and you go, okay, that's different. That's a little different than everybody else. And this is what I would put this type of thing for Bryce Young in, that's different than everybody else. Like, I don't know that there's another quarterback in the draft that can do this type of thing right here.
The way he ended that right there is what has scared me from jump. When they went to one, knowing that Josh McCown had felt that way about Bryce Young, one, I agree wholeheartedly with it. I think that's probably part of my problem.
Yeah.
It's
factual what he's saying.
Yeah.
His evaluation is on point.
It's just hard for me, Smitty, though, to hear him say that and then he's not making the decision. He's a quarterback coach. He's not making the decision, obviously, but then his team turn around and draft a guy that ahead of the guy you just said does things that the others can't do. That's the part in my mind that's just really hard to – and look, crazier things have happened, and I hope like hell they take C.J. Stroud. Other than me having to eat a little bit of crow to all the Ohio State fans out there after beating the drum of Bryce being better, because I know they're going to come my direction
mm-hmm.
If he gets drafted ahead of him. I love Bryce Young with the Texans.
So putting your mind at ease a little bit there, Josh McCown did have similar high praise for C.J. Stroud in that same series of evaluation he was doing. So
gotcha.
They're high on C.J. Stroud for sure. They're high on Bryce Young for sure. It just doesn't make sense to me logically that they would move up to get a guy with the frame that Bryce, all those little things that I think are unimportant. Those are the type of things that guys do think are important when you're talking about giving up a boatload of assets to move up to be the number one overall pick.
It's draft season. We're going to do this March Madness thing, and then we're going to jump right into draft season and the Texans needing a quarterback and needing and sitting at number two. It's going to make for some hellacious conversations and unbelievable sourced reports between now and go time on draft day.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, quick update on the March Madness on the tourney. It didn't take long to get madness, folks. It didn't take long to get madness. It was two games started pretty close to each other earlier in the day here, and one of those two games went down to the wire, and a 13 seed beat a 4 seed. Furman over Virginia, 68-67, and here's how it went down.
Playing with four guards, and the four guards out there, along with Cedric, are their best free throw shooters.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that! He threw it away! Ping, Pagese, score! Furman leads! Timeout, Virginia!
Yes, you did, Kevin. You saw what you just thought you saw. Is Furman beats Virginia, 13 seed Furman, 68, 4 seed Virginia, 67. They move on to the second round, and their matchup is San Diego State. San Diego State beat Charleston, and then up above them, our Island boys, our Islanders, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, they went down to Alabama in the second round. Alabama is up against Maryland. Maryland beat West Virginia. There you go, in the first round. And I'm telling you right now, this is a good one. Missouri beat Utah State to move on to the second round. They're awaiting the winner of Arizona and Princeton. And right now, with a minute and a half left, 15 seed Princeton is up 56-55 over 2 seed Arizona. Minute 37 left in that ball game. We may get, boys, we may get more madness before we get, hell, I don't even know if there's been 10 games go final yet. We may get another upset here. It's brewing, folks. Also, Kansas, 1 seed Kansas beat 16 seed Howard. They move on to the second round. And right now, the games that we have in action, you know, them Hogs are doing work now.
Mm-hmm.
Them Hogs are doing work now. 8 seed Arkansas. 50,
y'all know I love Arkansas.
Tell them, Bryce. 55 over 9 seed Illinois, 38. They're rolling off right now with a 17-point lead with a little over 10 minutes to go in the second half. And I already told you a little bit about the other game that's underway. Princeton 56, Arizona 55. 15 seed over a 2 seed. Now they got a minute 13 left. Smitty, we going to get another upset here, bro?
No, man. Wildcats better stop tripping now. I got a perfect bracket brewing over here. See, I got my bias bracket.
Okay.
And I got my objective bracket. Now, my bias bracket, I'm like 1-4. But in my objective bracket, I'm batting 1,000 right now. I got Arizona going to the Sweet 16, so I need them to come through. It's a minute and 31 seconds left in the ball game. Princeton's up 56-55. I don't need that Cinderella to go through. We need Arizona to come on with it.
It's a nail biter. We'll see if Princeton can pull it off.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Smitty, on the Texans front, man, the Texans have done some really good work, and we're gonna lay out the projected starting defense for D'Amico Ryan's Houston Texans here in this hour, and it looks pretty promising. But there is a glaring hole, if you will, where I think everybody that I've talked to that covers the Texans knows the Texans, evaluates the NFL. The thought is that the Texans are gonna. They are pursuing potential upgrades at the middle linebacker position. They were, you know, rumored to be in the mix with, I don't know if rumored's right, reportedly in the mix for Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker with the Dallas Cowboys. He went back to Dallas. Is that right? He went back to Dallas,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. He re-signed to Dallas.
And right now, Aaron Wilson a little earlier reported that the Texans have Denzel Perryman in Houston for a 2-day visit per league source. The visit started with a meeting with coaches and a physical. He's had a pretty fast recovery from a labrum injury. He is to be cleared in April. The Texans will complete medicals here. Should be completed by tomorrow, which will conclude his visit. But that would be an upgrade at the middle linebacker position, with Denzel Perryman potentially being a Texan before too long.
Yeah, you know, this is a former Raider that, you know, not this past season, but the season before that, went to a Pro Bowl. He was a Charger before that. He's a talented player, explosive guy, makes a lot of plays in the backfield. His biggest deal is staying healthy. You talked about the torn labrum and the surgery that he's had from that. You know, hopefully his big thing is if he comes to the Texans, he's going to be marked down as the starter. He's going to be the starter. His main deal is staying healthy, and we'll see if they can get a deal done. Before he leaves, he's supposed to be going to Nashville to get a visit in with the Titans as well. And anytime you get a free agent in the building, you want to sign him and get him done before you get him out the building, because a lot of times those guys don't come back.
5 o'clock fire.
Smitty, this one hurts me, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like I'm a punching bag. I feel like I'm just sitting over here just taking shot after shot. You know, I'm a big Yuli fan.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big Yuli fan. It pains me to see Yuli Gurriel not in an Astros uniform, and hell, if we're being honest, not in the big leagues. Yuli Gurriel, he spoke on the Astros' lack of interest, and there's a lot there, but ultimately, no nunca was Gurriel's response about receiving an offer from the Astros in the offseason.
That was good.
No, never is basically. It pains me that the Astros never even lowball offered. In other words, had zero interest from jump to bring Yuli back.
Well, it's unfortunate, man, because a lot of times when you get to a certain point in your career, you've been with an organization for a long time and you want to be able to come back, and you might be willing to take less to play at a certain spot, and you know what? You don't even get the opportunity. I know what that's like personally. I know a lot of guys that have gone through that, where you're with a place and you don't want to leave it. The offer doesn't come, the organization moves on in a different direction, and so that's what we're seeing with Yuli Gurriel. And so hopefully, you know, there won't be any hard feelings, and he'll always be thought of as an Astro by the fans, and he'll feel the same way about the organization.
I don't know if I can take any more, Smitty. I need Yuli, just quit talking about it. I mean, this is a good week for Ron to show Yuli be out of town. I couldn't handle any more smart-ass remarks about you. I just couldn't handle it. I saw him coming before show ever had him.
Yeah, show's a Yuli hater for sure.
Quick update, Smitty, I'm sorry, but I can't see that TV you're looking at in there, Tyler, but is Princeton knocked off Arizona?
It isn't final yet, but as long as they make a free throw or two, yeah. Princeton leads Arizona by three, 3 seconds left, and they're at the line shooting free throws.
Up 3 seconds left. Princeton at the line. Look, I mean, it's a long shot for Arizona to tie this thing up.
Bracket busted, bro.
15 and a 2. So what have we had so far? 14 and a
3, yeah.
14 and a 3, 15 and a 2?
I believe so. Yeah, and they just made the first free throw. It's 59-55, Princeton, 3 seconds left.
Oh, man. There you have it.
I had Arizona going all the way to the Elite Eight and losing to Alabama.
I can't remember how far, but I had Arizona deep.
Yeah, I had them deep.
Damn,
well, I imagine several people did that two seed, right? I would imagine several people did. So y'all ain't hurting too bad.
Shout out to the big brains at Princeton. Good job.
Come on, man.
Got to watch out for them Ivies in the tournament, man.
Gosh dang it.
Directional schools and Ivies, you got to watch out for them.
I'm going to check out the bracket and see how that impacts my Hogs.
I did just go final, by the way. It's official.
It is official, huh? All right, look, we got a big-time injury in Major League Baseball, and I'm going to be honest with y'all. It scares the hell out of me for our Astros. I'll tell you who that was, and we'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hughley is out, Smitty is in, and damn it, T, let's give away some tickets, man. Let's give away some tickets here. A 4-pack of tickets to Final Four Fan Fest. Be caller number 4. We're going to give away 4 tickets. Hell, lucky number 4. Be caller number 4 right now. 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. Caller number 4, you're going to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Final Four Fan Fest at George R. Brown Convention Center on March the 31st. You got, I don't know, about 15 days to make your plans, decide who you want to take. You got a 4-pack, so you got options right there. Best of luck out there. Boy, it's crazy. That dang phone lights up like a Christmas tree when we give them damn tickets away.
Oh, boy. Yeah. They want it.
Get in.
I'm trying to go to the game, baby.
I told Show one day, I wanted to answer, like, on air, somebody that didn't win.
Yeah.
And let them know. think they won and then be like, all right, no, I just want to say hello, man.
Wrong for that. Like, man, I ain't trying to talk to you right now, Clint. I'm trying to get these tickets, man.
I just want to say what's up. Tyler's in there talking to the winner, man, but I just want to say what's up, John.
Yeah, I would like to hear that. I want to hear that.
Smitty, look, there was an injury last night, and this is unfortunate, man. I hate to just gloss over the injury and then go to how it impacts us as Astros fans, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened. Edwin Diaz, superstar Mets closer, he suffered a knee injury last night, and it was in the celebration after his team, Puerto Rico, won a monster game over the Dominican Republic team, and it was hard to see like exactly what happened, because it was everybody coming together like you normally do after a big win and kind of, you know, jumping around and celebrating, and then you realize pretty quickly something happened. They wave out the trainers, the coaches, they get him up to walk him off the field. You can tell he has no control over his right foot, his right leg. Ultimately, he's kind of just dragging his foot, and it was bad. They ended up putting him in a wheelchair and carting him off, and he did have, according to Jeff Passan, today they did confirm he tore his patellar tendon and will have surgery and will be out the entire season. I hate to see this happen to anybody, but Edwin Diaz, for those that don't know, you need to Google this guy. His entry into a game with the trumpets and the crowd going nuts. Here it is, T. Turn that up one time, man. And that background noise right there, the crowd yelling, that's not background noise. That's not added. That's the crowd going crazy and the hype when this dude, when them trumpets start and this dude enters the field. And look, he was primed for a big year with the Mets, and this injury is awful to see in the World Baseball Classic. So there, look, prayers up for him and his family. I hate to see anybody get injured like this, Smitty, but I'm going to bring this back to Houston, if you will.
Before you do, I still get cheers every time I hear that.
Oh yeah,
when that thing comes on, man. I get cheers. I feel them right now.
Baseball needs it.
Yeah,
bro. That's the other part of this is like, I'm with you. I love it, and it's entertainment. I would too if I looked up on my ESPN app and I saw New York Mets in a 2-2 ball game in the eighth inning. I'm flipping on the TV so I can watch them introduce Edwin Diaz, and it's that kind of entertainment for me.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it is take my selfish self out of it. Baseball needed this. Baseball should make more of an effort to have things like this in their game, because this is absolutely beautiful. But it's unfortunately the injury part of this thing is a part of it as well. But Smitty, I can't help but think about the Astros that are participating in the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
I mean, we are primed and ready to make another run, to go back to back, ready to reign, if you will, to use their hashtag. And we've got several players that are playing. You got Kyle Tucker, Jeremy Pena, Jose Altuve, Maldonado, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Ryan Pressly. Speaking of closers, Ryan Pressly is one of the best in the game, and he's our guy. This. And I know it can happen anywhere. In fact, the patella tendon rupturing probably was torn and on its way. There was probably something there. It was on its way to rupture, even if he was in spring training. But losing one of the guys that we have over there scares the hell out of me after an injury like this.
And I understand that. I understand people being apprehensive and being scared of losing your player when it doesn't pertain to your team's season and trying to go out there and get a World Series. But this World Baseball Classic thing, man, it's been gold. It's great for the game of baseball. Guys going out there and representing their countries, you're always going to be a fan of that. And so, man just got hurt celebrating. That is so unfortunate that he got hurt celebrating after a big win against a worthy opponent on the biggest stage. But you just got to think it was a freak accident. It's not going to happen to my guys. It's not going to happen to the Astros. It's not going to happen to whatever team that you support, you know, your representatives of your team that are playing for their countries. It's not going to happen to them, especially with how that went down. It's just one of those freak things that are unfortunate for Diaz, the Mets, and Major League Baseball in general.
T, I know this. I know you feel some kind of way about this WBC Classic and the injuries happening like this and how it could impact the Major League organizations and hopefully not the Astros.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not trying to be like a jerk or anything. I get kind of, you were saying it earlier, Clint, like I get there is something to play in the sport that you love with that country, the country you represent on your chest. I get that. I really do. But at this point, before this ever happened with Diaz, I was leaning towards,
you said that before.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of these Astros players playing in the WBC. Now I'm really not all about that, because the last thing I need to see is a hobbled Altuve dragging his foot off the field, or a Yordan, I know he's not playing in it, or a Pressly or whoever, because the Astros are paying these guys to win here in Houston. They ain't paying them to go play in the WBC, so I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Look, I don't like about it. I had a chance when I was in high school to play in a Texas California All-Star game and actually take the field with the state of Texas on my chest. That was an unbelievable feeling. I can only imagine what it feels like to take the field and represent your country. So I'm good with the games. Again, it'd be an opportunity of a lifetime to do it. I understand why guys do it. But baseball's got to fix it from a scheduling perspective. I've been told, Smitty, since COVID became a thing, how important a ramp-up period is. And you got to have X. And I get it. I get it. I'm not a finely tuned machine like some guys that played in the league. But I understand you don't just get off your couch and go do what NFLers or MLB guys or Hoopers do. You don't do it.
You weren't a Lamborghini when you played. You were more of a F-150.
Yeah, you damn right, Smitty. You can back me out of the garage and go hammer down all day long. I don't need to stretch, baby, because my top speed ain't gonna pull nothing. But I think it's crazy. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense that it's in the middle of spring training. And I don't know the ties between Major League Baseball and the WBC and what I don't even know what could possibly be done. But damn it, you got 4 months at the very least, if not more, that you could schedule this thing where it's not in the middle of spring training. And I just don't, there's no way I trust that all of these baseball players in their offseason are ramping up 2 weeks, 3 weeks earlier than everybody else so that they can go play in the WBC. Like, there's somebody taking that risk, and I don't like it.
Wouldn't the onus be on the organizations to make sure their guys that are participating are doing that as well?
You would think,
because that's their assets. That's their tickets to having success the season that's going to follow this WBC. You got to make sure your guys are ready and that they're being taken care of.
All right, D'Amico Ryans, one thing he's got to do sooner rather than later, 2023 would be nice, is get this defense right. I don't know what kind of head coach he's going to be. I don't know what kind of offensive coordinator he got. I don't know what kind of game manager he's going to be. Look, I have no idea. But I know one thing is he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. He's got to get this defense right. Smitty's going to lay out this defense of what the projected starters look like. And, folks, I know we all know their names, but when you actually put it all together, it's awfully impressive. We'll do that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron, the show, Hughley is out. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is in. And, Smitty, did you get you some Mexican food last night, man?
I damn sure did.
What'd you get?
I had some tacos, two big-ass homemade tacos. Ground beef with some lettuce and tomatoes.
Come on.
And
then
bro.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Hey, I love that chop.
The best thing about it, though, is the way Tyler was kind of peeking underneath the brim of his hat to see how Smitty responded to it.
I heard him stop talking. I was like, oh, he's looking at me. He's looking at me. That big man in there is looking at me.
I like, man, where'd that come from?
So wife cooked it up?
Yeah. When I was talking to y'all on air, she was listening.
She heard it.
Like,
all right, let me
get you some tacos tonight.
And then she had to chase you down to bring you your phone.
Bro, when I tell you that this woman is amazing, on my way into the studio today, I jumped in my car. You know, I'm listening to the radio. I'm riding down the street. It's about a mile and a half to get from the front door to the street light to make a left to get out of my neighborhood. And as I'm pulling up to the light, fortunately for me, the light was red. So I got a red light. I look in my rear view. I see my daughter's car pulling up beside me, like tailgating me with the emergency lights going on. I'm like
damn,
what's going
daughter,
on?
Get off my ass, man.
Yeah, I'm like, what's she doing? Then she pulls up beside me. It's my wife. She jumps out. She looks at me, gives me like a little smirk, throws my phone, and it lands in my passenger seat.
Yeah.
Talking about you're welcome. I said, man.
We don't deserve them, man.
Nah, I was like, man, you're amazing. Because I would have got all the way up here and I've been like, where my damn phone at?
Right.
And I'd have been stuck out.
And it used to be one of those, like, what are we thinking, man? How can we not go a second without our phone? But nowadays, it's like,
you
feel
it.
Damn near naked without your phone. Whether it's just to communicate with your family or it's because, I mean, I just, of course, habitually just thumb the thing. And, I mean, you just feel naked without it. So, golly, solid clutch move on top of the homemade tacos.
No question.
Wife, he's a real MVP.
She's been coming through for the longest now, man. Long, long time. We've been together since 2002, man. What is it now, 23?
21 years.
It's a good run.
21 years together. It'll be 20 years married this year.
Oh, wow. October, well done. Well
October
done.
October 7th.
I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to get there with my wife. I waited a little longer, Smitty. I mean, I hope I do.
You still got a while, man.
I hope I get 20 years with my lady.
You're old, man, but you're not that old. You're good. Yeah.
They keep raising the expected age, you know, that you live these days. You might get up to about 80 by the time you get there.
Come on, man.
Yeah, with advances in modern science, you could live to be at least I don't know, 150, 200.
I tell you what, I'm
like the Bible days. Go back to living like that.
Yeah, and pull you a Samson.
I'm gonna die trying, man. I'm gonna die trying. I'm gonna fight Father Time as long as I can. All right, man. Let's talk a little bit about these Texans real quick, man. One thing that I said immediately when D'Amico Ryans got hired was, look, I don't know what kind of head coach he's gonna be. I don't know what kind of staff he's gonna hire. I don't. There's a lot of unknowns with a first time head coach. But when you hire a defensive-minded head coach, who I have no problem saying is the best defensive coordinator in the game, not named Bill Belichick. I mean, you can argue maybe Robert Saleh, a couple guys, but you get my point. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, D'Amico Ryans is a great defensive mind in today's game. When you hire him as a head coach, first and foremost, the number one priority is this defense has to get better immediately. And when you look at where this defense was, both from a performance standpoint, a product standpoint, and the void in talent on the roster on the defensive side of the football, there's plenty of ground for D'Amico Ryans to improve this defense. So I don't want to come on here and be like, oh, D'Amico's just going, I mean, he is going to be the answer, and he alone is going to be the reason why this team gets better. No, I understand the roster is going to get better, and that's a big part of it, but he and his mind and his scheme is going to improve it as well. The roster part of this thing, the defensive depth chart part of this thing for me, Smitty, is coming together nicely. I know all these players. All the fans out there have known all these players. I just haven't thought about it. I haven't sat down and did what you've done is literally list out the projected starting defense for the Texans. This is coming together really nicely. Let me run down it real quick. Free safety, Jalen Petrie. Strong safety, Jimmy Ward. The two corners, Derek Stingley and Steven Nelson. The nickel defender, slot corner, if you will, Desmond King. I'm a big fan, by the way. Two linebackers, Christian Kirksey, Christian Harris. Defensive line, you got Jerry Hughes at DN, Sheldon Rankins or Hassan Ridgeway at D-tackle, Malik Collins at D-tackle, and then Jonathan Grenard at the other DN position opposite Jerry Hughes. Look, Smitty, we'll dig into this. I think there's two or three spots where you could upgrade more significantly at one than other spots. But as a whole, I could get excited about driving over to NRG and watching D'Amico Ryans coach this crew on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I'm liking the moves that have been made up until this point. Looking at the additions of Sheldon Rankins and Hassan Ridgeway at the defensive tackle spot. You couple those two guys with Malik Collins, that's an interior that's going to stop the run and then also going to be able to get after the quarterback, cause issues to where quarterbacks are going to have to get off the spot. That's what you need in a D'Amico Ryans defense. They put a high premium on having a bunch of defensive linemen that can get to the quarterback that also can stop the run. You look at the linebacker spots, Christian Harris and Christian Kirksey. Listen, Christian Harris is a young guy. We talked to KJ Wright earlier today that played in the same defense his entire career with the Seattle Seahawks. This is a young piece that I think is going to grow leaps and bounds this season, play under D'Amico Ryans, and so you expect high things out of him. You're seeing right now, we talked about earlier, the Denzel Perryman, who's a linebacker out of the Raiders that's in town at this as we speak. Hopefully he's inking a deal because you would plug him in at the other linebacker spot as a starter. But as of right now, it's Christian Kirksey. He's a veteran guy, had a down year last year. If he is the guy in that spot, you got to hope that him being with D'Amico Ryans and running a different scheme can help him improve on what he did this past season. And then when you look at the defensive backfield, man, they were underrated last year. You add a guy like Jimmy Ward that knows his defense in and out, was top 100 player just a couple years ago. He's got versatility that he can play nickel. He can play strong safety as well. You got your young pieces in Jalen Petrie and Derek Stingley. You got your veteran pieces that played well since they've gotten here, Desmond King and Steven Nelson. That's a damn solid group to play with. And I didn't mention the defensive ends, Jerry Hughes and John Grenard as a defensive end. I would expect that they're going to add a pretty high asset at that defensive end spot so they can get after that quarterback as well. But just looking at it right now as it is, this is a solid group. This is a group that you can be a little bit excited about going into the season saying, hey, we're going to improve significantly of what you saw out of the Texans defense in the previous couple years.
I tell you that to me, when I look at that, Smitty, and you mentioned all of these, but to circle back, I think there's fair expectations to upgrade at two of the three positions where I feel like you could. Look, I like Steven Nelson at the cornerback position. Mm-hmm. Could you with all the movement in the NFL, could you upgrade and add another corner that would compete with Steven Nelson for that starting position? Sure. I could see that. I'm okay with Steven Nelson, but could you upgrade the cornerback room? Possibly. Linebacker Christian Kirksey for me. I'll be honest with you, though. There's a spot there that I expect the Texans to upgrade, whether it's through the draft or it's with Denzel Perryman.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest with you, man. And I'm not bagging on Lovie. I'm not in any way taking a shot at Lovie. But
No.
Bear with me, Lovie. The middle linebacker position in Lovie Smith's defense, without the Warren Sapp type of dudes at D tackle position, you're set up to fail, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it just because in the run game, you don't have guys to keep. You can't play downhill. You don't have guys ultimately to keep you know the offensive line from getting to the second level and getting in your face 4 yards deep. It's just you're set up to fail there. And I'm not making excuses for Christian Kirksey. I would not be opposed to him being on his football team and getting some run in D'Amico's system and seeing what he can do. I just versus the run in Lovie's defense, he was set up to fail. And I believe versus the pass in a cover two Tampa where he is. You're asked in today's NFL, you're asked to cover some dudes up that seam that just it's unfair.
Turn and run.
I mean, it's just not. I'll tell you, as an old quarterback back in the day when in a pro style offense with a fullback in the game and you get cover two Tampa, man, there's a handful of dudes that could play that position and play it at a really high level, obviously. And then when you get those kind of guys, they're damn near unbeatable.
Yeah.
But when if you're not that caliber dude, you are just set up run or pass to fail. So I'm not, look, I don't want Christian Kirksey to be the answer at middle linebacker. I think they can upgrade there. I like the fact that they're aggressive. They're going to be aggressive there, but I'm not out on Christian Kirksey being a linebacker on his football team. I think in the right system, I think he could, I think he could be a good piece in a defense. Great. No. Can you upgrade? Yes.
Yeah,
Christian Kirksey can play in a league right now in the right systems.
For sure, and he also is a great locker room guy. He's a great veteran leadership guy that somebody that you want to build. And so you're going to always try to improve personnel-wise throughout the roster where you can. And with Denzel Perryman in the building right now, they're looking to do that, and hopefully they can close that deal. But if that doesn't work out, Christian Kirksey has had some success in this league. And you would hope that him playing in a better scheme that puts you in better positions to succeed, he'd be able to do that next year.
How different do you think Derek Stingley is used this year versus last?
It's going to be night and day because you got to think a lot of times, even though it's a lot of cover three, a lot of that cover three, you're turning in, it turns into man. You're going to be put on islands and been told to go to work. You can look back at those old 49ers games from this past season. There's plenty of times that those corners are one-on-one out there and they're having to do work and they're having to win their one-on-one matchups on nine routes down the field. You're going to expect, you know, Derek Stingley's going to be put in that position to do that. You're going to see Stingley have more opportunities to make plays. You're going to see Jalen Petrie. Although he made a lot of plays last year, he's going to have even more opportunities to do that this year. You saw the safety play out of, how do you pronounce his name? Funga, or I can't think of the name. I don't want to mess the name up, but the safety.
If you do, you'll fit right in with our crew.
The Palomalu guy that's there now.
Yep.
You know, he was a fifth round draft pick, something like that. He had a hell of a year this year. You're gonna put Jalen Petrie in that same role, and then you bring Jimmy Ward from there. Like I'm loving the scenario and the situations that they're gonna be putting these guys in because they're gonna be put in a position to make plays. And up front, they're going to go hunt. They're going to go get after the quarterback. They're going to rotate guys. They're going to be eight deep up front. That's what you need to play in that type of defense. That is the prereq. Like if you're talking to your GM and your your roster builder. Hey, this is what I need for this defense to be successful. And D'Amico Ryan's coming in there. He has the cachet. He has the leverage. He has the say-so to make that happen. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the Houston Texans defense improve significantly of what you saw over the last couple of years with the Houston.
Oh, T-Mill got that Hall of Fame speech music down, don't he?
There you go.
Get up against that clock, boy.
There you go.
He cranks that thing up. Hey, look, man, March Madness is rocking and rolling. We've already had two upsets, 15-seed Princeton 59 over Arizona, 2-seed 55. Beat them by four. That's one upset. Sorry, Smitty. I know that hurt a bracket that you got.
Yeah.
Furman, 13-seed Furman over 4-seed Virginia, 68-67. Kansas moves on to the second round over Howard. That's a 1-seed over a 16-seed. Why am I letting you know about that one? Because my Hogs, it just went final, baby. 73-63 over Illinois. We got Arkansas-KU matchup.
Uh-oh.
We got an Arkansas-KU matchup.
It's the showdown.
Ron, the showdown. I know your ass is sweating, man.
Now, I can dance with that party. Oh,
man. No, hey, look here. Don't let Courtney and them kiddos see that fear on your face now. Now all I need, Smitty, is I need Texas.
Okay.
To beat the 2-seed Texas, to beat the 15-seed Colgate. They crank up at 6:25 here for too long. And then we can turn around and at 8:55 tonight, late game, 10-seed Penn State, 7-seed Texas A&M. I need Texas and Texas A&M to take care of business so that it'd be Saturday afternoon, ain't it? It'd be Saturday.
That's correct.
Yep. We get a Texas A&M game and we get an Arkansas-Kansas game. By the way, all my Cougar fans out there, U of H, 8:20 tonight, Northern Kentucky versus U of H. They'll handle up right there. Don't worry about that.
It's going to be some smoke in the city on Monday.
Come on,
man.
It's
going to be a happy crew. Half of y'all and half of y'all going to be mad at the world. And I'm going to be tuning in.
Yeah, it's going to be fun right here. All right, Smitty, we'll see you tomorrow. Thursday, we got Smitty once again on Friday. T-Mill, good job. Smitty, what you got for me, Chief?
It's always real, fellas.
There it is. Houston, we love you, baby. We saw a guy get struck out. Tyler, while you were in Cabo rehabbing your nipples, a guy got struck out in Major League Baseball in under 20 seconds.